Today's lesson is from Ephesians 1, starting at the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as children through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved.
In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all his wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is guaranteed our inheritance. We acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory.
For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the faith of the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of our wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you please stand as Zias reads for us the gospel reading?
The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was in my last year in high school in England, we studied Shakespeare's play, of Julius Caesar. And in an attempt to familiarize myself with that play, I subjected the whole family to an endless recording of it. And understand, this was a vinyl record on a radiogram that the whole family had to listen to while it was playing. To this day, I can still recall a few lines. Can't speak for my family. Though granted, I don't know the whole play. And I will spare you my rendering of Antony's words spoken with passion over Caesar's body. In a slightly more restrained address to undergraduates at Wheaton College, Bishop N.T. Wright, or Tom Wright, apparently he likes to be called, prefers to be called, suggested to his audience that they consider learning St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which we heard read so beautifully. a chapter, just one. But the way to learn the whole book, said Wright, was one verse a day. And as there were only 155 verses in the six chapters, he reasoned that this was not an onerous task for young minds. Older ones might have a little more difficulty. But the benefits of learning those verses, he said, was that, especially when young, is that they would stay in the memory bank. I don't know how many verses you have committed to memory, maybe of scripture, the Lord's Prayer, of worship songs and hymns, words that stay with us, words that give hope, words that encourage, words that remind, words that comfort, words that come unbidden, it seems, sometimes. Today I want to look at the words that we'll hear and say in the baptismal covenant, which includes the words of the creed that we say most weeks. And I want to reflect on those words through the lens of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And if you were to learn only one chapter, this would be a good one to learn. His rich and powerful declaration of God's love, God's purpose, God's will, God's grace. Paul begins his letter full of praise for God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed the Jewish race and now in turn is blessing the Gentile believers, blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing, even as he chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world, that they should be holy and blameless before him. And Paul continues, In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. And then he goes on to say, in him also you, that is the church beyond Ephesus, that is the worldwide church, that is the church known as Little Trinity. In him you also, when you heard the truth, the gospel of your foundation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of God's glory. In Christ we the church, have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses, the riches of his grace which he lavished upon us. I love that word, lavished. It's an abundance. It's over the top, more than we can ask or imagine. And this was the plan, God's plan from the beginning, before the foundation of time. God set forth in Christ a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven, things on earth. And we're given the tremendous privilege of seeing a glimpse of that. St. Paul's words come tumbling out, ever more glorious. And recall that he's not sitting in some leafy green place with the sound of birds singing, neither by the river or the sea with the sound of water lapping. He's been arrested in Rome. He's been arrested again. And, humanly speaking, things don't look that great. But as one commenter wrote, he is freshly captured by the wonder of being in Christ, despite his circumstances. And when I was reading this and praying over it, a hymn line did come to my mind. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. In times of deep stress, of difficult circumstances, of sorrows, memorized words may come to mind. Words from prayers and scripture and those worship songs and hymns remind us of the hope and the promises that we have received. promises that will never be broken, promises that we can absolutely depend on. In a dark time in my life, I played and replayed and replayed Mike Jansen's CD of the Psalms, a reminder of God's eternal words and promises. The Psalms are such a wonderful source. It's like it says the things that we can't say, and listening to that CD might sort of move the music through so that we hear those words again and again and that they come to mind, even in what might seem like an impossible place. God with us. God with us. God with us. The Lord remembers us. His promises hold to the end, and our souls are restored. St. Paul is not dwelling on his immediate circumstances, but he's sharing and celebrating the blessings that have been poured out in abundance to the saints who are faithful to Jesus Christ, to the church, to this church, to you. And God's purpose for those who believe is glorious and extraordinary. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. The church is the place where we come together to worship, but also to repent, both individually and corporately. For God chose us. God chose us. That we should be holy and blameless before him, confident in the knowledge that we can be washed clean of sin. And this is the powerful image of baptism, acknowledging sin, turning away, washed clean, learning, growing, mindful of the temptations that might seek to lead us astray, knowing that God is always with us. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Karen reminded us of the danger of opening our ears to the whisper of the evil one. A whispered suggestion that may seem innocuous on the face of it, but so easily can lead us down the slippery path. Well, others do it. No one will know. The lie whispered in the garden. Did God really say? And God has been calling us back ever since. In the baptism service, the candidates, Corrie and Edith and Penelope, the parents of Elliot and Frederick and Willem on their behalf, will be asked, do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? When Jesus came up out of the water after being baptized by John the Baptist, immediately the heavens were torn open, much as the veil was torn open at our Lord's death. This something was happening. New beginning. God's plan confirmed. God in the world, the victor. And then the image of something like a dove accompanied by God's powerful words, you are my beloved son, and I am well pleased. But then Jesus is driven into the wilderness by the Spirit. That's a difficult one. I'm not going there. To be tempted by the evil one. So Jesus wasn't spared temptation, and neither are we. But we're not alone. We're not alone. Scripture leaves us in no doubt as to the presence of rebellious and corrupt forces that seek to draw us from that lavish love of God. And sometimes all it takes is a whisper. In his letter further in the Ephesians, Paul warns against the lure and the danger of sin, urges all of us, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Last week, Pastor Tim spoke of repentance, the recognition and admission of sin. I have three beautiful grandchildren who occasionally, but only occasionally, of course, cross a line and are told that they need to say sorry. And the reluctant response is something like, sorry, because sorry often doesn't come easily. Especially if there are, well, reasonable grounds or extenuating circumstances for what was said or done. Done against God, against one another, mistakes made, harsh words, broken promises, little white lies. And sometimes it takes a lot of those half-hearted sorries before I and we come to our knees before God with deep humility, saying simply, I was wrong, and I'm not going to make any more excuses or blame anyone else. I'm truly sorry. And the wonder of it is that we are truly forgiven. We may not be able to right the wrong, but we can confidently give it over to God, who took it to the cross, and we can confidently believe that we are forgiven. We are washed clean. We can't change the past. We can't rearrange it. We have to accept the consequences. But God willing, we can learn from it. I love to hear the babies cry. You just sing out. And the baptism service weaves beautifully the recognition of sin, the renunciation, turning away, dying to old life, embracing the new life. Every week we have the opportunity to gather together in this community, to pray together, to confess our sin individually and corporate, to receive forgiveness, to break bread together, and the glory of company of all the saints, to worship the God who redeemed our lives together. And baptism rightly takes place here in the church, and the whole community, that is you, will be joining them to make promises. You are their witnesses before God to hear and be reminded of God's blessing, sealed with the Holy Spirit. And it is in this glorious blessing that adults and youth and child and to infants in their parents' arms are carried to the font. St. Mark tells us that people, probably some of them I'm guessing were parents, brought little children to Jesus. And despite the disciples' reluctance, Jesus welcomed them. Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them. For it is to such as those that the kingdom of God belongs. And he took them in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. God knew us from the beginning of time, formed us in our mother's womb, called us into being, even knowing our predisposition to sin, redeems us through Christ's blood, forgives our trespasses, lavishes, pours out in abundance, overflowing his grace. For the babies who will be brought to the font this morning, the expectation is that they will in time make their own confirmation of the promises that have been made on their behalf. In him that is in Christ, we heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. And this church is charged with teaching and praying and supporting and persevering in leading a holy life, so that they and all of us will continue to grow in understanding and knowledge. Little Trinity has one of the best children's and youth ministries that I know. We are so privileged to have the leaders that we have. My daughter, I think I've told you before, when we came back from England, started here, moved up through the children's ministry, through Trinitines, and those, some real little ones that I've baptized here, now tower above me. It is the most incredible privilege to be able to baptize. Those words that we say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I sign you with the sign of the cross as Christ's own forever. It is a one-time event. It can't be repeated, and it doesn't need to be. It is life-changing, a call from God to answer. Paul concludes the first chapter of Ephesians with a prayer. It's a beautiful prayer, a prayer to take to our enlightened hearts. And I can think of no better way than to echo that prayer as a conclusion. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, each one of you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, name above all names. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.